The Tom Likas Show.
Grew up with divorced, slutty mommy.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Mommy needed some dick.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24/7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us on the bonus hour, as he usually does, here he is, and he's here in studio. He is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Great to be here, Tom.
What's going on?
Well, Gary and I were talking about this about an hour ago, and he actually stole my thunder a little. He mentioned this in News for Guys last hour. But, you know, Tom, it's amazing how everything, that offends women is becoming criminalized. And this is really interesting. You know, the United States follows the British law, which was, you know, obviously we're originally a colony of England. And so when you see these things popping up in Europe, in England, it's not going to be too long until they get here. And they have literally passed a law in England that if you emotionally bully your wife, you can get up to 5 years in jail. Now,
that's a great way to give another incentive to men to get married. That's fantastic.
It's funny, you know, when the politicians, especially in like election years, and you'll see this, I'm sure, once they have the conventions, they're always talking about strengthening the family and family values and all that. And then they'll parade the different candidates, you know, children and wives on the stage. I remember that very, very clearly growing up seeing, I think it was George Bush, the elder, and here he is with all his kids, and he's Mr. Family Values. But then they, as a practical matter, do everything possible to make marriage as unattractive as possible. And if you think about what's going on now, the threshold for what it means to be a bully has changed, you know? I remember you getting beat up at the bus stop, and that happened to me a couple of times growing up on Long Island. I thought that was bullying. That was officially it.
Yeah,
right?
This guy was literally punching me in the head repeatedly.
For no particular reason. Yes. I think that is the definition that I would expect. And what's happening now is the thresholds are changing so substantially. The whole feminist thing now has degenerated into what they call trigger warnings and microaggressions. So a microaggression is when you do something really small, but it was obviously some kind of a dig on somebody. And so, for example, they've had lecturers come. And, you know, when I was in the university in New York, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, the university was this place where you're supposed to hear new ideas and different ways of thinking. And, you know, you study things that don't make sense and you study other, you know, philosophies that you don't necessarily agree with. But it's good to be exposed to them. But what happens now is that they have some, let's say, post-feminists come to talk about the flaws of feminism. And the feminists on campus don't want it to come. They don't want that person to lecture. And so they have a protest. They pull the fire alarm during the lecture. They try to disrupt the lecture. And what they have to do for them is they have to make a safe room where they put them in a safe room with blue painted walls and coloring books and drinks and stuffed animals, so that when the women who go to the lecture get triggered and they start getting upset by what they're hearing, they can run to the safe room and calm down. And they're actually saying now that they want to put trigger warnings on books. So, for example, if you're in college and you're studying English or whatever, then if you're reading Huckleberry Finn or The Great Gatsby or great literature, but in the literature there are incidents of assault and rape and whatnot, then, you know, there should be a warning on the book that the poor sensitivities of the little ladies in the class will get upset. And so they have to be warned about it first before the professor essentially bullies them and abuses them and makes them read literature that upsets them. If you think about the idea where we've gone so far that, you know, at first we wanted women in the university, and then we started having classes, you know, that were mixed, and, you know, it was like 50-50 or whatever. If you look at the classes now, it's 60, 70, 80% women, and the women are saying that it has to be even more friendly towards them, and it has to accommodate their concerns, and it has to accommodate everything that could possibly bother them. But they're not just teasing. They actually make this into law. And when you look at how things are now, if you're a young man on a university campus and you're accused of sexual assault, even though it makes no sense and there's no facts or whatever, normally in a criminal case you'd have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, but in the college accusation, you're immediately expelled. You may not get the right to a hearing. The theory in postmodern feminism is that women don't lie about these things, and they don't exaggerate, and so, you know, maybe you didn't call her the next day and her feelings were hurt, but she's saying you raped her, and all accusations are to be believed. And it's actually you who is a racist or a sexist or a misogynist if you question it. And if you say to her, wait a second, maybe that doesn't make sense. There was an incredible incident at the University of Virginia where this woman wrote an article, and it was about a woman, this was in the Rolling Stone magazine, and it was about a woman who said that she was gang raped at a fraternity party. And it turns out, with a very little bit of fact-checking, that the day that she said there was the fraternity party, there was no party. And the people that she accused of raping her, two of them were not even on campus that day. And the fraternity was closed, actually. And this person had never been to the campus. And I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And no one bothered to fact-check it because, you know, obviously if it's in the story, it must be true. And, you know, not a lot of people realize this, but Megyn Kelly, who is at each other's throats with Donald Trump now and has her own show on Fox, she became prominent when she was reporting on the Duke University case, where this stripper accused these Duke students of raping her, which also had a timeline that didn't make any sense, and it became this big national issue, and nobody really cared what the story was. There's a funny video that Gary just showed me where Troy Smith, Tom, is that the guy? He's an NFL player?
I don't remember.
Yeah? I'm pretty sure. He got a DUI, and here he is trying to talk to the cop, and he's so drunk or whatever he is that he's mixing all the words up. It's terrible.
Oh, my.
And it goes back to what I've said a zillion times, and it goes for the sex assault stuff, too. The smartest thing you can do is shut up, really. I don't know how to say it to people clearly enough. I have a lot of these things now where we get dash cam video, and we also get with audio. The cops are wearing cameras on their uniforms or in little pen-type things in their pocket. And I have a case recently where the guy got pulled over. It's late at night. And the cop initially thought it was a DUI and started giving him the whole thing. And my client, the guy, is, you know, really being very, like, nervous. But he's saying to the cop, you know, I don't want to do the test. I don't want to do the sobriety test. I don't want to do the breath test. And you see how coercive the situation is. I mean, the cop is really rather sadistic. I mean, he's saying to him, I'm going to put you in jail and you're going to be so sorry. And you're going to be in jail the whole weekend, and I don't care what happens to you. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I understand a lot of people, when they face that situation, they get, you know, really scared, or they think they're, you know, maybe they can talk their way out of it. A lot of guys tell me, you know, that they do the field sobriety test, and they touch their nose and everything, and they tell me, I'm pretty sure I passed the test. Well, that's impossible. You're going to fail that test no matter what. That's completely subjective, and the cop is not going to say that you passed. He's going to say that you failed. And you see how this football guy was trying to talk his way out of it, and he was just making it worse and worse and worse. by his slurring and by the things that he was saying, just showing how drunk he was. And a lot of these people that got into these situations in campuses and elsewhere, you know, they hired lawyers too late, and they didn't realize how much trouble they were in, and they started, you know, making statements, or they started doing things, and a lot of that stuff ended up hurting their case and being used against them. And it's really incredible. I mean, I don't know how you can go through life and try to be normal when there's a whole world of people that are completely on the edge of, you know, going crazy and essentially blaming it on you. And, you know, as much as it's cruel to say, the biggest group of this is females. I mean, you know, women have always been the way they are today, you know, high strung or whatever. And I'm not saying it's right, but I think at one time they were much more regulated. And a woman was told what to do by her husband, much more so, or by her father or her mother. And she was much more restricted in that. And if you see in some of the more retrograde cultures, like the Arab culture, let's say in some of the Arab states, you know, women are not allowed to go out, and women are much more limited, which is, you know, obviously a bad thing overall. But in our society, where we've gone so far the other way, where at this point it really is true that a guy sleeps with a woman, let's say that he's just met, and he doesn't call her the next day, or she feels dirty the next day, or she feels used, and it's sort of like afterwards she decides, hey, that must have been rape, you know? And there's a bizarre case. Tom, you must have seen this one. This crazy, crazy girl, and I'm sorry to tell you that her mother and her father are both psychiatrists, if you can believe that. But she had sex with some guy that she was dating, and she decided that he had raped her. The university did a study about it and found that it wasn't true. They never pressed charges. And she walked around on her campus at Columbia University in New York City, a very prestigious school. She walked around carrying the mattress that supposedly she had been raped on for like 2 years. And she even took it to graduation. And they told her not to or something, and she did it anyway. And she literally was walking around campus, this fucking head case, carrying this mattress around to demonstrate her pain at being sexually assaulted and no one would listen or whatever. And, you know, it's really scary. This became essentially the purpose of her life. This became the main event of her life. And it's really incredible that when we talk about, you know, feminism, women empowering themselves, here you have a woman who's empowering herself by her victimhood. And when you talk about trigger warnings, you know, this is an interesting thing. You know, if a young woman, for example, is triggered by something, or she gets very upset very easily when they talk about rape or they talk about sex assault or whatever it is that her trigger is, you know, the thing to do is not to shield her from that, but to expose her to it. This is actually true. In psychology, if you have phobias, one of the things that they do is they gradually introduce you to the thing that you're afraid of and teach you not to have that fear reaction. So instead of building a bubble around this person and protecting them from the thing that upsets them, you know, if they were truly free and they were truly going to a university in order to learn and expand their minds and so forth, you know, they would actually want to read the book that upsets them and find a way of coping with the upsetting things. And that's essentially the meaning of being an adult. And if what we're doing today, I mean, we're taking, you know, especially young women, and we're making them stupid and immature, I think that's one of the reasons that you see what ends up happening. We have so many of these guys who call me, the same guys that call into the show, that have these girlfriends that do the most ridiculous, idiotic things and without any understanding of the consequences, and they end up causing so much damage and so much harm, and the things that are set up to protect them end up, you know, acting strangely and backfiring in so many ways. So, like, for example, and we've all seen this, you know, you get into a fight with your girlfriend, she calls 911, and because she's angry at you momentarily, and this sets up a course of events that you cannot backtrack. And the next day when she calms down and you guys have made up, The police case is still out there. They're still prosecuting you. You have to start dealing with a criminal case, and she can't drop it. It can't stop it once it starts going. And I think a lot of these women that make these cases over hurt feelings, you know, we have taught women in this generation that their feelings are the most important things in the world, that feelings are more important than facts. And so you have a young woman who thinks that her feelings and her sensitivity in her life, you know, is so important that if she's upset and she says a guy raped her, you know, she gets a lot of attention. All of a sudden the police are there. Everyone's standing around her. She's the center of attention and she's giving her statement. It seems to me that a few days later she regrets it and she goes, oh, I don't want that guy to go to jail for 10 years, you know. But at the same time, it's like too late. It's already the ball rolling down the hill and the snowballing, and she cannot undo it anymore. And even if she, you know, knows that it's gotten too far, it's gotten out of hand, that it was originally just meant as, you know, some kind of a small little thing that she wanted to do, and she sees that it takes on these mammoth proportions, even she couldn't stop it if she even wanted to. And when you look at stuff like this English thing, where they're going to take a man and they're going to charge him with emotional cruelty? Now, what does that even mean? Does that mean he yelled at his wife? Or that he's had a course of cruelty? He's been cruel to her for years? Or he was just cruel to her for one day?
By the way, people have a right to leave. They don't have to stay
sure.
there.
Sure. Isn't that another joke, Tom?
Just go.
When I was a kid, I remember seeing these abused women on television. And I understand that there's all kinds of factors. But these women stay in these abusive marriages for 20 years. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, I'm sorry, okay? Maybe there aren't enough shelters, okay? And maybe there are economic constraints. But maybe it's not possible for you to leave the asshole guy, you know, right this second. But come on, you know? There's got to be some adult behavior, right? So, I mean, if you're in this horrible situation, you have to be able to make a plan and get away out of it. Remember you used to talk about this, Tom, how a guy would get an apartment and get it all set up and
yep.
then make the move, you know?
That's right.
Even anybody, you know, whatever, a woman can move back in with her mother or her sister. Or she can do something, I mean, for God's sake. And then, you know, if you look at women, they chose the asshole guy in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, you see how she stayed with him for 20 years. She must have been getting something out of it, you know? The idea that they play this thing and... It's so tiresome to me because I get calls, you know, all day long from women telling me what victims they are and how this essentially, you know, cruel, sick man fell out of the sky, got them pregnant, and then destroyed their life, you know? And you say, look, you know, do you take any responsibility? And we have a culture now that really encourages that way of thinking, especially among women.
And by the way, it's not just women as a group. It's also drug addicts, alcoholics.
Interesting.
People, you know, the idea is there's nothing wrong with you. You have a disease. And I don't understand that. Like,
so you put the needle in the arm, right?
Nobody put the needle in your arm but you. And you can't say you didn't know that this was bad for you when you did it. But more and more, you poor thing. Yeah, you're not a drunk. You have a disease, and you need therapy, and you need to go into a program paid for by the public, paid for by the taxpayer.
Well,
it's outrageous. No one takes responsibility for anything they do. Nothing is ever the fault of the person who does it, and it's an epidemic.
The problem is that I think that society, generally speaking, doesn't really know what to do. I mean, there are certainly a lot of people that I've seen in the criminal justice system that were mentally ill. Right? Meanwhile, they're being prosecuted for, you know, assault or whatever, getting in fights or whatever. But the truth is that they've got real issues. You know, they've got anger issues or whatever.
I don't want the people who brought you the DMV bringing you alcohol rehabilitation or drug rehabilitation. You don't want people to drink and do all the drugs they want. And then if you are sick, it's been very nice knowing you. Not our problem.
But then what? Throw them into a landfill? I mean, where do they go?
Well, they stagger into a landfill. I've said many times, as you know, that I'm not in favor of protecting drug addicts from themselves. I'm in favor. I've got a space in mind right along the 14 freeway. Cantaloupe Valley Freeway. It's a big empty space.
Right?
You just put a mountain of coke and a mountain of cocaine and have buckets of
syringes. Let them fight over it.
They won't have to. There'll be so much, there won't have to be any fighting. And when you're dead, you're dead. Go for it, everybody.
Well, you know, there's an interesting example in Europe, in Portugal. I don't know how they worked this out, Tom. It's just this little thing that they did where apparently the leader of the country, the prime minister, sat down with the leader of the opposition. So this was what you would call bipartisan. The left and the right agreed. And they made all drugs, and I'm not kidding, hard and soft, everything, legal. Okay? And they took all the laws, everything to do with drugs, and just threw them off the books.
Right.
So anyone who has any kind of situation with drugs no longer gets arrested. What they do is they talk to them, and they have them try to come in for counseling and for, you know, some kind of therapy or help or addiction counseling or whatever. Meanwhile, they give them health care. They give them whatever drugs they want, totally paid for by the government. So, I mean, the whole, you know, expense of smuggling and paying off the police and all that's gone. So cocaine, heroin, whatever ends up being, you know, ridiculously inexpensive because the actual cost of these drugs is almost nothing. And they found that it actually helped people. It reduced crime. It reduced the level of transmission of diseases, you know, with needles, hepatitis and HIV and so forth. But I don't know. We seem to have this fixation, especially in the United States, of sort of saving people from themselves. And
it's an industry.
Yeah, but
you know, there's a million junior Dr. Drews out there who make a living by you know, helping. Help! I'm going to help you.
Yeah, but why am I going through your glove compartment? That's the question.
Well, look, that's the bottom line. The police get more and more freedom to be spying on what you're doing. That's the way it works.
How's that helping society in any way?
I don't think it is, but I think that we're in a society where you've got the people in charge who want as much power and control as they can get. They want to be able to look into everything you're doing. Look, it's a lot easier to spy on you and know you're out there and what you're doing before you do anything than it is to have to investigate a crime after it's happened. And I believe there's an awful lot of people who want to reserve the right of the cops to pull you over for any reason at all and to go through your trunk, your glove compartment,
for any reason at all. Yeah, I see that.
I mean, this idea that we get cops can pull you over because they think you were texting.
Right.
They have no idea what you were doing.
Right, right.
And the amount of time it would take to do the forensic research and figure out if you were sending a text message or you were looking at Waze to see what your next right turn was.
Well, Sam, why would that be? You know, why do they care if you're looking at Waze? That's like a freaking map, for God's sake.
They don't care if you're looking at Waze.
No, they do. They give you a ticket for that. Just holding the phone is enough.
Well, but they say you're texting.
Right.
Because the law doesn't say you can't look at the map.
Right.
So they will always tell you you were texting. I've already been down this road. I was lucky. The cop who pulled me over knew who I was and let me go.
Right.
But he pulled me over because I was looking at a map on my phone, and he told me I was texting while I was driving.
Right. See, beyond all of this, if you look at the United States, we have almost 2 million people in jail. And it is an industry. But what kind of sick thing is that? Why would we want to have a society like that? That we're jailing so much of our fellow citizens.
Because so many people say there's so much crime. What are we going to do
crime?
About all this crime?
A lot of it's not crime. A lot of it's what they call victimless crime, particularly drugs and so forth.
Well, I'm tired of it. Wait, like, for example, seatbelts. The idea that a cop can pull you over because you're not wearing a seatbelt is outrageous.
Again, saving you from yourself.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so they tried it a few different ways. I mean, it's also like helmets with motorcycles, right?
You want to know how to get people to wear seatbelts? Here's how you do it. You give insurance companies permission to not pay 10 cents if you're in a serious accident and you're not wearing a seatbelt.
I don't know how far they can go.
What do you mean?
It seems to me that originally, like when I took driver's ed, they said, you know, you got to wear your seatbelt. It's important to wear your seatbelt, you know? And then there were these like public service announcements, you know, don't forget to put on your seatbelt. And then put your kid in the seatbelt, right? Like car seats and all that stuff for little kids, right? And, you know, gradually they were showing that that was not really working. It really wasn't, Tom. And when I was really little, I remember we had the first thing where if you didn't put the seatbelt on, it would buzz. The car wouldn't let you.
Bing, 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 bing,
make like
bing,
a thing
bing,
and,
bing, yeah.
And I remember my dad trying to, like, defeat that.
Right.
And then ultimately, you know, they said, okay, we're going to give you a grace period. And then they made it a law. And first it was $50, and now it's like $600, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's how it goes. That's how everything goes.
Right.
But that's the same mentality of the government trying to save us from ourselves, essentially.
Right. But we encourage that kind of thing. And in reality, we should be going in the other direction. I mean, seriously, whether I wear a seatbelt is between me and my insurance company. It is nobody else's business. And I don't see why some of these things just can't be worked out through commerce. You know, if you wear a seatbelt, don't wear a seatbelt. But if you don't, and you're in an accident, and you're injured, you got to pay. Simple.
Right, but if you're more severely injured because you didn't wear a seatbelt, that cost is going to end up with all of us.
Not necessarily. You might have to sell your house. You might have to file bankruptcy and sell off your furniture. But the point is, the idea is to collect from the person responsible.
Right. What concerns me the most is how much it's affected just regular casual relationships of every kind. And when you see this thing where society really is tearing at the seams, and men and women today, how many times have you said this, Tom? It's absolute warfare.
Right.
Okay. So you're dating a woman. I mean, I remember reading this about doctors, that a doctor is looking at you as a patient, but he's also thinking maybe you're going to sue him. So he's got to practice what they call defensive medicine. He's got to write down everything. He's got to give you too many tests to make sure everything's possible covered so that he can be in a defensible position if you sue him.
This is why urologists frequently refuse to perform vasectomies on young men.
Because they'll change their mind.
Or they didn't check with wifey before they came in.
For God's sake. What it seems
wifey
to
doesn't
me,
have to check with me if she wants to have an abortion. I have to get mommy's permission if I want to get a vasectomy.
What it seems to me is that at the same time now, you're going on a date with a woman and she's pretty and everything and she likes you, but you don't know if she's going to turn on you. And she's going to say that you raped her, or you assaulted her, or you were emotionally abusive,
right,
or you broke the school's honor code, or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
It's not a joke. And
I
if you
know.
Look at if you look at the university being 80% women, that's a hostile place for men to go. And so when people say now, you know, that there are less and less guys getting into the professions, and more, you know, women achieving high academics, that's a nice thing for women. But what kind of society are we going to have?
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We got calls for Adam. This is the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Adam Sachs is here in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And he is here to give you free legal advice and opinions. And you can call right now and get that legal advice and those opinions. Just call his number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. It's 901-3000-866.
Coast to coast. Around the world. And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam here in studio, as he is the bonus hour every Tuesday, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, if you want to call in live. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number, 901-3000-866. Here's Kim in Orange County. Kim, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
I'm okay, Kim, how are you?
Hi, Kim.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited to be on with you guys right now.
Nice.
I wanted to comment on this law that passed in the UK about the emotional abuse.
Right.
Honestly, and they're painting this as some kind of feminist movement. Honestly, I'm a 30-year-old grown woman. I am educated, and I'm a professional. And I kind of view this as anti-feminist, as honestly like a step back. Because it completely paints women as helpless and unable to take care of themselves. And that's ridiculous. That's completely ridiculous. Like, we all have a choice to wake up in the morning, go to school, go to work, pay our bills, etc. And this paints us as, like, these helpless creatures that can't take care of ourselves. And that's ridiculous. That's total
called
bullshit.
Infantilization. Like, you're an infant.
Yeah,
you know?
I think... I actually think it's anti-feminist to paint women in that light.
But let me ask you now, as a woman, seriously, you don't stay home with the blinds closed, right? You go out in the world.
Of course not.
So
yeah.
Don't you have experiences on a regular day of someone saying something offensive to you or, you know, just like anyone, people give you the finger or whatever? I mean,
of course.
Isn't that part of just filtering in life? I mean, you just deal with that, right?
Of course. And to add to that, I work in law enforcement. So
oh, wow. Well, forget it.
People
you're really
verbally,
seeing it.
You know, they say whatever they say. And you have to be like a duck, let it roll off your back, because how else are you going to be a successful person? You know, you can't take everything people say personally.
No, it's true.
You just take it with a grain of salt and move on with your life. That's ridiculous.
You know, I know that the cops have gotten some, you know, bad raps in terms of, you know, being supposedly trigger happy, but I have to say, I have watched some videos on YouTube of people that were just screaming and cursing at a cop. And he's standing there calmly taking it, you know, and trying to deflect
to
it, you know.
Times.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you're a woman police officer or whatever. But I mean, that is such an important lesson in terms of just, you know, regular situations. And it seems
absolutely
to me that if you were coddled, I don't know your background, but let's say when you were in getting your bachelor's degree or whatever, if you were coddled by the university where you're living in this bubble and they're giving you safe spaces and they're protecting you from microaggressions and all this other stuff, it seems to me that you're not very prepared for life. You come out of the university
not.
And you're going to be in shock when you see what's really going on.
Absolutely. And I graduated college over a decade ago now.
Right.
I graduated young. And it was a slightly different time than it is now. I feel like
there's
this culture of entitlement and like, hey, I showed up. Where's my prize? And
right.
That's ridiculous. And I think for anyone or any law to paint anyone, male or female, as this hopeless, helpless person that needs to be taken care of, that's ridiculous. We all have a choice. We all wake up every single day and make the choices that we make to live through that day.
Right.
And,
I really agree
you
with
know,
you. So how do we fix this then? Tell me. I mean, this is the direction of things now, seriously. And it seems to be accelerating, which is even more upsetting. And
I think people need to take accountability, and it's just not the way things are now.
Yeah, but as a woman, if you'll forgive me, seriously, why are young women demanding this? I don't understand it. I think it would be humiliating to them.
It would be to me. I would be absolutely humiliated to act like that in public.
So, did you see that girl with the mattress? I mean, what the hell was that?
Yeah, and here's the thing that bugs me about that, especially like doing what I do. I deal with people who are real victims of horrible crimes.
Me too.
And I feel like people that get drunk and wake up the next day and they regret it.
Right.
That completely discredits that real victim that is
right.
seriously suffering.
What
and
gets,
that is
it
not
gets
right.
me exactly the same thing where a woman says, you know, he looked at me and I felt I had been raped, okay? And it's
yeah.
like, are you kidding me? You know, I've dealt with real rape victims, okay?
Exactly.
And it demeans them. It demeans the word that we throw it around.
Really?
Everyone's a rape victim. Everyone's been, you know, racist. I mean, it ends up taking away from it. You know, when they talk about everything today, you know, everything's a Holocaust, you know? It's like, are you kidding?
Yes.
So when you talk about a woman that's actually been raped for real, it's awful that they would take that word that used to have some real context and water it down. That if a woman gets insulted, now she feels she's been raped.
Yeah, and I think that's just ridiculous because there are real victims that need help that have legitimately been raped or assaulted or whatever the case may be, and they deserve justice. They deserve for that perpetrator to go to jail, of course. And then there's these girls that just get drunk and, oh, whoops, I regret it, and I don't want to look like a slut to my friends, so I'm just going to say I was raped. And
the problem is,
I think this is getting worse.
The distrust between young men and women in general, if anything, is through the roof and getting worse.
I'm going to say a piece of advice here for a second to all the young college guys out there. Get an ID I know it sounds awkward, but make sure this girl is of age, because there are a lot of college girls that are 17.
So wait a minute. So I'm gonna wait a second. Now, let me get this right. I'm in bed with a chick, and I said, "Let me see your ID."
Well, I mean, make sure that you know this person is of age. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, if she's been drinking, just walk away
because
you don't need that in your life.
You're
because
about
you have
a,
no
a
idea.
19-year-old guy in college.
He's
going to turn down sex? I don't know.
I realize that's kind of a tall order, but it's just my
advice.
That's
why you bought her a drink.
Yeah, really, Tom. You're talking about the drinking. That's
because,
why she had the drink in the first place, for God's sake.
Because it will save you for so much drama in the future if you just say, you know what, this chick has problems, she's drunk, she's drama, forget about it.
Yeah, well, big surprise.
Well, but, I mean, you know.
I appreciate your analysis. And it's by the way, honestly, it's very refreshing hearing it from, you know, to be honest with you, from a woman and from a woman's perspective. But
yeah,
I think
I don't want anyone to victimize me or tell me that I'm helpless. That is bullshit.
Right. But you're also
because I'm not. You're
also in law enforcement, so you're not the average woman,
yeah.
Right? Let's face it.
Right. It's not the common everyday thing. But even a woman who works, say, in a traditionally female field as a teacher or a nurse or whatever, these are also educated people. These are people who work in a profession 40 hours a week plus, who see and interact with people every day. You don't have to be helpless. That's insane.
Right. Well, thank you.
You know?
I really agree with
and
you.
And for Tom, are you there, Tom?
Uh-oh,
of course.
This
I'm
is
right
for
here.
You. This is for you, Dad.
This is for you. Yeah. I am 30 years old. I am unmarried. I live in a home. I'm a professional, no children, and I plan to keep it that way.
Nice.
And I do,
perfect woman,
and
Tom.
And I do enjoy the company of my male significant other, of course.
Now, Tom, she's
and,
taken.
And you know what? There's none of that BS. We're both grown. We're not children. There's no drama. There's no, oh my God, I want to be a princess. No, I'm a real person in the real world, and I want to go to work, and I want to have my home, and I want to have a nice life, and go travel, and do all these things. And I feel fortunate to have found another person who feels the same way, who also listens to you, Tom.
Nice. All right.
Fabulous. Very nice.
And you know what? It works for us. And there's a lot of critics, but who gives a crap? Because it's not their life, right?
Exactly right. Good
wow.
call, Kim. Thank you so
How'd
much.
How'd you like that, Tom?
Loving it. Loving it. 901-3000, Tom. That's our telephone number. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs answering free questions. Legal advice for you. 901-3000 Tom is our number. It's 901-3000-866.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, our bonus hour with federal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer my own phone. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, which I love, and I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Sounds good to me. All right, Joe in Detroit, you're on the Tom Likas Show. You're here with Adam Sachs.
Hey, Tom. Congratulations on the Big Four, first of all.
Thank you.
We had a great party, by the way.
Oh, I know. Being here in Detroit, I'm sorry that I missed it, but hope to get out there soon.
Please
but,
do.
Yeah, so I've never been in trouble, Adam.
Okay, good.
And, Yeah, mid-January, we were doing a little celebrating for work and jumped behind the wheel. Got pulled over. He said that I, you know, went across the line.
Classic.
Or whatever. Had asked if I had been drinking. I realized I was intoxicated. So, you know, what flashes in my mind, I mean, just the the 4 years and the pounding of, you know, don't get out of your car, you know, don't do a breathalyzer, don't do a field sobriety test. So refuse those pieces. They took me to jail. They had to get a warrant to take my blood, and they didn't even take me to a hospital. They did it at the station or the lockup or whatever.
That's not unusual.
Being complete assholes, everyone. Even talking like the deputies, the people in the jail. So I'm just like, what did I do? You know, why did I listen to this guy in L.A.? He doesn't know the Michigan justice system. You know, what the hell did I do?
Well, by the way, it's not so different here in L.A. or anywhere else. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, generally speaking, especially for someone like you that's law-abiding, you know, going to jail is a very, very traumatic experience. And the cops tend to be really, really harsh. And, you know, I was just talking about to this lady before who called about, you know, these people that go to college and think that they're little snowflakes and you can't upset them or hurt their feelings. But life isn't like that. And when you're accused of a crime and you're in the police custody and you're being booked, I mean, you know, they should be professional with you, but a lot of times they're not. And a lot of times you're sitting there, you know, you gotta pee, they won't let you go. You know, you're sitting there waiting hours to get fingerprints taken, you know, they don't give a shit about you, you know. And that's a very common experience. And, you know, they are public servants, but you also have to remember that the police see a lot of negative things and they deal with a lot of negative people, and it certainly rubs off on them.
No, and, you know, I get that, and, you know, this is not a bashing the deputies or the police call, but no, it's no joke in there. But I do disagree with the previous caller on walk away from drunk women. I think all of our numbers would be reduced by a minimum of 3/4 on our list if that was the case. But
that's a threshold issue, you know. There's something where, and Tom always talks about this, you know, where you have, you know, one or two drinks in her that loosens her up a little, you know, and then a little bit more and she's freaking passed out, you know. So
I get that. So I know we're kind of up against it here, so let me sort of tell you the outcome. So, you know, I go through the arraignment. First thing I do that night when I get out of jail, or the following day that night, they kept me in there for a long time, called an attorney. Was referred a good attorney here locally, called him.
Good.
Got all my ducks in a row, you know, based on everything I've heard from you.
Good.
That following day, later in the day, I go get arraigned. Long story short, it turns out my blood alcohol level was extremely high.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so when I say high, like high twos.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like falling asleep drunk, you know? Knocked out.
Yeah, basically, not a good scene. So so this is like an elevated sort of case here in Michigan, as you probably know, if you have this high BAC.
Right.
So long story short, you know, we went through the whole process. My lawyer advised that I do a no contest.
Okay.
Jump in therapy, all of that. I did that. So I got sentenced last week. I'm on probation for a year. I am going to get a restricted license. They put that machine in your car, which is an interlock, right?
Right. You got to blow to start the car.
Yeah, but, you know, no community service, no AA. I got to go to one MAD class.
Mm-hmm.
So my lawyer basically said, look, the best thing that you did was refusing those tests and refusing everything, because that BAC showed up one time in this entire, you know, ordeal, this entire case. It somehow got lost in translation.
Good.
Everyone saw that I had a high BAC, but no one really saw the number or ever spoke of the number.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it was luck. You know, it was your advice. But, you know, I think in the long run it worked out.
Good.
You know, I really
I'm glad
do.
To hear it. I'm very gratified to know that. I mean, look, if you think about the whole thing, and again, you know, there are screwed up people that get in trouble all the time. And have, you know, I talk to people that have been arrested 10, 12 times. You know, that's just stupid. If someone's like you, basically a good person, law-abiding, and you made a mistake, you know, if you look at the way you handled it, and I'm glad you took my advice, I'm glad it worked for you, you did the right thing. You hired a lawyer. It sounds like he got you a pretty good situation and outcome. Not bad. Year of probation. You can probably try to get it expunged afterwards. You didn't have to take classes. You paid a fine, maybe. I mean, overall, that's probably as good as anyone could have expected. And, you know, you made a mistake, and now you can put this behind you. Get on with your life. That's the point. That's what I try to do for people. That's very important. You don't want this to be something that disrupts your whole life, that you end up losing your job and your house and all this other stuff because of this stupid mistake you made, you see?
I get it, man. So I just want to say thank you to you both. And we need another four years out of you there, Tom.
I'm working on it.
Another 4 years minimum, Tom.
Be sure to subscribe to Premium Tom or SuperPremiumTom.com.
I'm going back right now. My credit card ran out.
All right.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, you too.
So you see the value there, Tom? He basically shut up.
Right.
He didn't cooperate with doing all these stupid tests they want. He ended up having very high blood alcohol, 0.2 or whatever. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he was able to get it fixed without too much punishment.
Right.
And that's that to me is, especially when you're guilty, that's the point.
And I'm not kidding. This is a general rule for guys, just shut up.
Yeah,
I mean, shut up about everything. Stop telling people about your life. Stop giving people ammunition they can use against
you. Not the cops, for God's sake, please.
Definitely not the cops.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
Oh, there you go.
Shut up.
To be able to square it away, get a lawyer, and get it behind you, where he's got, a year probation. It's not the end of the world. And it doesn't throw your whole life off track. I talk to so many people, and they'll say to me, well, everything went wrong after my DUI, and that was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really worked it through, and they never really recovered from it. And that's the shame. That's what I'm trying to help a person do, is get back into their life, fix the mistake as best they can, pay a fine or whatever the minimum thing we can do, and cut the BS and get back to your normal scheduled life and not have this ridiculous incident have this echo that destroys everything else.
All right, once again, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and as you know, if you missed any part of the program, just go over to Premium Tom or Super Premium Tom. Press the play button. You can hear the entire hour. Or if you want to call in live, there'll be another appearance by Adam, another bonus hour. It's coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yay.
Van Nuys' father has been charged with leaving his 9-month-old girl in his car for an hour during a daytime trip to a strip club. He was getting old lap dance inside, and I guess they've got... came across the kid. They broke into the car, let the kid out when they went inside to let the father know. He was a little pissed off that they were busting up his lap dance. Rightfully so. He's got his priorities all straightened out.
I wonder how much lap dances go at the Sin Gentlemen's Club in North Hill.
Yes.
Just wonder.
Apparently they were hearing the kid cry. The car window was partially open. At least he thought about that.
Well, he had his priorities. He knew, crack the window, go get the dance.
Right. The baby was warm and visibly upset, according to police. Dargan is the name of the individual, is in the middle of receiving a lap dance when the manager stepped in and stopped the action to notify him they'd just found his baby in the car.
He left the club saying, just give me my baby.
Just give me my baby.
I know I'm messing up.
But the pull of the poon is just too strong.
Right. Plus, like, I don't know if this was a Monday night or if this happened on a Sunday night. But it's got lap dance has got to be like a 2-for-1 deal, so maybe $10 or something. Couldn't pass it up.
Right.
It's like getting
come
double.
Along. Right. It's a middle afternoon thing that happens. Afternoon delight, I think is what they call it over there.
Dude. Find me the champagne room.
Yeah. And apparently in a hotel just outside of Denver, a motel owner, rather, has been secretly spying on guests having sex for decades now. It's not a good situation. Hundreds of people having sex at a Aurora, Colorado motel.
And they were being spied on.
And they're being spied. Don't you suspect this at every one of these, like, you know, smaller hotel or individually
right, some
owned
that are
motels?
Not,
right.
You know, Motel 6, right. Stuff like that.
Right. I mean, I suspect this sort of thing is going on all over the place.
Oh, right? Man.
Yes.
By the way, this has been documented about how this guy bought the motel to achieve his uncontrollable desire to peer into other people's lives.
Yeah, he apparently has been keeping notes all this time. He's been writing down what he sees and his observations.
The Voyeur Motel. This is my life, my secret life,
yes.
Said Foos.
Yes. Foos.
Foos. Yes. I played foosball many times.
Right, foosball.
It's good.
Khloe Kardashian apparently using a sex calculator to figure out how many calories she burns during sex. I guess reverse cowgirl is a good position when it comes to burning the calories during the sexual activities.
You know, she's been appearing a lot with these wild statements. You have to wonder if a lot of this stuff is being said to pump her cock with Khloe or something like that.
Cock with Khloe,
yeah.
Yes. Of course.
Because I'm serious. The sex calculator, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think all what's right. happening here is that she's given way too much time to just say shit that comes at the top of her head. And now people are reporting on it because it's a Kardashian. People report on it as if it's news.
And you
just like us here at News for Guys.
Right. You have to try to beat Kanye and her sister with the shenanigans, and that is very difficult.
Right.
Good luck.
Finally, a story out of Boca Raton, Florida. A woman apparently arrested for repeatedly calling 911 while drunk because she could not seem to remember where she parked her car. And she's calling 911 to see if they could figure it out. And, of course, she got busted.
Sure.
That will happen.
I'm hoping she just got busted for the use of 911 for a non-emergency, because hopefully she wasn't dumb enough to get in her car after that mess. You know what I mean? It'd be best if she just stayed away from
her
car.
Well, yeah. Well, it would
completely.
Be best that you not call 911 when you
too.
Can't find your car when you're drunk. I mean,
but
I
just
that's
have
pretty,
to,
yeah.
hate to add
I'm
insult to injury
you.
There. You know?
I'm with you. Plenty more at newsforguys.com, and you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the new normal.
If the hole's there, fill it.